It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Protein is having its moment in the spotlight. Companies are adding more protein-enhanced products to their lineups. And new federal dietary guidelines put the nutrient front and center.
Harvest Public Media's Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval reports on whether or not Americans actually need more protein.
It's not hard to find protein-packed foods. For years, consumers have enjoyed protein shakes, powders, and bars. But lately, it's been showing up in some surprising places.
Hello, welcome to Starbucks. What can I get started here today?
I'll do a vanilla protein latte.
Ooh, okay, so that protein, period. Okay, do you want a hotter ice today?
The company is just one of many that have introduced new lines of protein-enhanced products to meet increasing demand. A survey last year from the International Food Information Council found that 7 in 10 Americans want to include protein in their diets.
It's been picking up momentum in videos and TikTok.
Corey Geiger is a dairy economist for CoBank, a national lender. Geiger has studied the newfound appetite for protein. He says it's more than just a social media trend. It's now aligned with a political agenda.
Certainly, more recently, the MAHA movement has amplified what has been taking place in Americana.
The federal government unveiled new dietary guidelines in January that put protein front and center in the American diet. Officials say the new recommendations will, quote, make America healthy again. At a press conference announcing the changes, Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Marty McCary urged Americans to eat more protein.
The old guidelines had such a low protein recommendation that we are increasing that by 50 to 100%.
It's a change that dietitians across the country have mixed feelings about. Stanford University nutrition professor Christopher Gartner served on the board that made recommendations to the government. He says the administration largely ignored them, and he calls prioritizing protein bizarre.
Americans have been a little short on calcium, potassium, fiber, and vitamin D. Protein was not and has never been in that list of things that we're short of.
He points out that Americans are among the highest per capita consumers of protein-rich meat in the world. Cleveland Clinic dietitian Julia Zumpano says Americans are getting enough protein, mostly because they're consuming more calories than they need. Instead, she'd like Americans to be more mindful of where they get their protein.
Occasional red meats, an abundance of fish, poultry, a regular intake of legumes and beans. You know, eggs are infiltrated in there. The main source of dairy protein is in the form of yogurt.
Some nutrition experts think we do need more protein, like Stuart Phillips, a kinesiology professor at McMaster University in Canada. He agrees with the federal guidelines for protein intake. But Phillips thinks the new food pyramid overemphasizes the role protein should play in people's diets.
It's just that putting them on the top means that they should be eaten the most and more often. That's the sort of implication of the way the pyramid is based now. And that's not necessarily a good thing.
And he worries the new emphasis could encourage people to consume protein-enhanced products they don't need, especially if they don't exercise. Products, perhaps, like the latte I bought and am now about to enjoy. I'm Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including WPR.
Data center construction is happening in many communities around Wisconsin, and many of those projects have seen local pushback. That's been the case in Port Washington near Lake Michigan.
Residents of Port Washington say they're becoming increasingly frustrated by the lights, noises, and dust being produced by construction on the Vantage Data Center's Lighthouse campus.
Construction was originally limited to a 12 to 14 hour period each day, but for months the city has allowed round-the-clock construction on weekdays.
Last week, residents presented a letter to both the city's Common Council and the Port Washington Town Board, requesting that the city go back to enforcing the old hours by March 15th. It was signed by 100 people, according to the Ozaki Press.
In just a bit, we'll hear from the citizens who wrote and signed that letter.
First, earlier this week, I talked about the issue with Ted Knightsky, mayor of the city of Port Washington. What led to the community having this 24-hour construction permitted on this data center?
So there was a request from the contractors and Vantage Corporation to be able to work 24 hours for a limited period of time through spring in order to catch up on their project map. As the project had begun in winter, the original project map had had them starting in September. And they had requested the ability to move to 24 hours of work during that time period, specifically around earthwork and pad preparation, so they could catch up on their calendar. And their request was granted by the Planning Commission because the city of Port Washington would like this project to close as fast as possible, because that's not only part of our developer's agreement, but positions the city to begin to increase the value and tax that property. So any length of time extended on the project would be to the detriment of our local community and taxpayers.
And we've got this letter from a bunch of people in the community saying, hey, we're worried about the noise, the traffic, and especially, I think, that 24-hour issue, the, hey, this is going on overnight. What, as you look at those community concerns, what is your response?
So I have great empathy, and I very much understand it. I've gone out there many times myself in the evening. It's Monday through Friday, not on the weekends, and as people have come to our council meetings and brought to our attention different issues, we have immediately put pressure on the contractors to fix that. We've heard about Jake braking on dump trucks, and we've learned that those contractors who were doing that were terminated, people making lots of noises, they're coming and going. You know, as different things have been brought to the attention of the contractor group, we've asked them to address it as quickly as possible. And we are currently reviewing whether or not we're going to allow that 24 hours through the end of May, which was their request. And we're working with the company to determine what are the consequences of us cutting off that 24 hours a day.
So what are the factors you're weighing as you and your fellow decision makers decide, hey, maybe we should end this 24-hour weekday window sooner than planned?
Well, the first thing we want to do is we want to be good neighbors. I mean, I grew up in town. A lot of those friends, a lot of the people who signed that and are frustrated are people I grew up with and I'm friends with. And we've asked them, you know, just please keep telling us, you know, what you need, what they are. You know, for instance, one of the things that had occurred was our school bus depot is out in the area adjacent to the construction. And the bus depot traffic on the county highway was becoming so great that the buses were leaving late and not able to get the kids picked up on time. So we immediately worked with Vantage Corporation, and the next day they had flagmen out there and they were stopping traffic and the buses were leaving on time. So as concerns have been brought directly to us, we've been able to respond to it. Many of the complaints are brought up on social media where we're not monitoring those chat groups or those conversations, but when they're brought to us, we act upon them. So really what we're trying to do here now is determine how can the Vantage Corporation work to reduce the 24-hour need, shift the impact of noise and sound in the evening so that the majority of that work is done during the day, and really position the citizens of the city of Port Washington as well as the town of Port Washington to, you know, not have their evenings interrupted by this mass construction project.
I suppose somebody might say, hey, hang on, if we end that 24-hour window sooner and it bumps back construction, I don't know, a couple few months, is that big a financial impact for the city not getting that tax revenue going for maybe an extra 2 or 3 months?
It certainly would be. I mean, we would prefer that all of these projects are wrapped up within the timeline that was established. And if that construction project takes us into another year, you know, that shifts a lot of the valuation. And really, that's a small part of the weight. Really, what we want to do is be good neighbors and ensure that, you know, we can work with both. We, at the end of the day, when we had the groundbreaking for Vantage, my expectation was that they respected the land. And now that they've discovered us, They follow the rules of hiking. Leave us better than you found us. And right now we're in a pinch point as a result of that 24-hour construction, and the city's advocating to find ways to reduce that impact on everyone.
Now, long-term, it's no secret to you, I'm sure. There have been a lot of pro and con arguments about the value of bringing data centers into communities. What is your hope when this thing is up and running? What do you hope that this accomplishes for Port Washington?
I hope what we see in Port Washington is what I saw when I visited data centers in Loudoun County, Virginia, which was very large technology warehouses with, you know, hundreds of employees that quietly operated in the community and created significant tax base that elevated the entire region. And that's what I saw when I went and visited them, and that's what's already started to happen. We have thousands of workers keeping our downtown restaurants, hotels, and businesses busy. We've got our whole community's elevating. And for me personally, number one is what it's gonna do for future workforces and our education system and our public schools, because we don't have a major employer in our region. Last year, you know, when new businesses open in Port Washington, they have maybe 4 or 5 employees. And that's not something, you know, that our young men, women, and people will go off to college or tech school or military or the workforce. There's nothing to look forward to in a major way in our region. And now there is. And that's what I'm hoping.
Mayor Nightsky, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's Ted Nightsky, mayor of Port Washington. Now we'll meet two local residents who are raising concerns about the 24-hour construction at this data center site. Kirk Dayheck is a resident of Port Washington who recently authored a letter to both the city's Common Council and the Port Washington Town Board. And Kim Tydrick is one of the 100 affected people who signed that letter. Kirk, thanks for joining us.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And Kim, thanks for being with us.
Anytime.
Now, Kim, you live close to this construction site. Can you give us a sense of what it's like living near this 24-hour weekday construction?
I don't think I can portray it very well over the radio. However, I will say that we call our neighborhood the Land of the Midnight Sun now because the hundreds of extremely bright work lights that they have shine in our windows 24 hours a day. We have incessant backup beeping, which we were assured we would never hear by the mayor of Port Washington. And a lot of people are having really bad experiences with dirt carrying into their homes. We all have it on our cars and such as that, but some people are really having bad experiences. Everyone's experience is a little bit different based on where they are and where the construction is happening day to day. But no one should have to live through this.
Kirk, you've been in touch with a lot of people, I think, in the community. What experiences are you hearing of Kim's and others? How many people are affected? What kind of stories are you hearing from people?
Kim's remarks are spot on. That is the general consensus. And I wasn't originally invested in this. I am more of a, let's wait and see. It got to a point where Vantage no longer complied with the guidance provided them in the development agreement that said 24-hour-a-day construction was okay, but not on Saturday nights into Sundays. And 4 a.m. on a Saturday morning, when I called the Ozaukee County Sheriff's Department, that was my last straw. And with the encouragement of others, I was invited to, well, let's just go see what the temperature in the neighborhood is. I was more surprised by the thanks I got from everybody I stopped and talked to as being somebody that was interested in doing anything to get any sort of resolution, mitigation out of any leadership in the city or the town of Port Washington.
Kirk, you recently authored a letter to the Port Washington Common Council and the Town Council as well, signed, I understand, by a bunch of residents in the area. What were you requesting?
I was simply requesting ending 24-hour-a-day construction. Somewhat dissatisfied, 24-hour-a-day construction started with a Planning Commission agenda in November of 25 that did not mention that. 24-hour-a-day construction was requested at that meeting solely by Vantage, moved and approved by the mayor with nobody at the meeting because it wasn't on the agenda. Kim showed up at a subsequent planning commission meeting and was chastised by the mayor and subsequently had her mic turned off because it wasn't on the agenda for that planning commission meeting before the city council. I have issues with that. The mayor can publicly, outward facing, say we've been plenty transparent. You can look at the agenda, you can look at the decisions, and that's patently false.
Kim, the mayor and others have said, hey, we need this, so the company needs this 24-hour schedule to get this thing done on schedule. It's going to start bringing in tax revenue faster, right, than if they slowed things down. There's going to be benefits to the local economy, local schools, and things like that. Do you see the possibility that, hey, there some good could come out of this rushing it and suffering through this 24-hour-a-day deal?
Honestly, as a town resident, we get no benefits whatsoever. The city supposedly will get some tax benefits. That's questionable. There are different ways, apparently, of looking at it and calculating it. But as town residents, we get nothing.
And Kirk, that's part of the complication here. There's a city, there's a town involved, there's annexation of parts of the town by the city. Does that make it complicated for you and fellow residents to tackle your concerns here?
Absolutely. Part of the problem is, as a town resident, my recourse is my elected officials. My elected officials told Align that in the recently executed border agreement with the city, they assigned any ability to oppose anything the data center wants to do, that they have no responsibility to that. We go to city council meetings, and any remarks we present at a city council meeting are noted in the minutes as non-resident comments regarding opposition to data center. That's the end. When the city council and the town board control the narrative, they have the ability to simply bury any adverse interpretation of any conduct they do. It wasn't until I actually attended a town board meeting that I found out that I had been labeled as a data center agitator, which you can say I'm agitating, but it's principally because I'm agitated, because it's been 3 to 4 months of virtually no sleep and no resolution and no acknowledgement from either of town governance or city governance that, hey, we're just going to ask you to bear with us a bit longer. I've bared with you long enough.
And we'll leave it there. Kirk, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Kim, thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome.
Kirk Dahak is a resident of Port Washington. He recently wrote a letter to both the city's Common Council and the Port Washington Town Board protesting 24-hour construction on the nearby data center project. And Kim Tydrick is one of the 100 affected people who signed that letter. Earlier, we heard from Mayor of Port Washington, Ted Neitzke, about how the city is responding to resident concerns. In answer to claims about open public access to public meetings, Mayor Neitzke told Wisconsin Today that Plan Commission meetings have to be relevant to the meeting's agenda and that comments at a February 19th meeting didn't meet that standard. And in a statement, the company Vantage acknowledged the late-night weekend work, quote, "We sincerely apologize to our Port Washington neighbors for overnight work performed during a weekend in February," end quote. They say they will avoid those hours in the future.